So I need to start with a thank you for the invitation to speak and for that introduction. This will be a personal perspective. And also, I always enjoy coming to the Range Beef Cow Symposium, and I've done that a number of times in the past. So if we look at reproductive management of cattle early in the 20th century, it was pretty much buy a neighbor's bull. The bull probably had a superior phenotype, but there was limited genetic information about that breeding animal. Maybe there was a breeding season, and maybe there wasn't. So what has changed? Well, I'm afraid that for most beef producers, it's not so different today. And this probably doesn't apply to most of you in the audience, but a lot of beef producers buy a neighbor's bull, has superior phenotype. The one thing that's different from 100 years ago is that animal is likely genetically superior. And that's partly due to having some reproductive technology along the way, like artificial insemination. And there probably is a breeding season. So why add reproductive technology to your reproductive operation? First, let's look at the priorities. The first one is to get the cow pregnant. Second is genetic improvement. For example, weaning weights or carcass characteristics. Third would be convenience efficiency traits, such as getting the cattle polled or easy calving. And then fourth, and I think this one's very important, is to try something new. This keeps the interest of the younger generation and keeps us olders younger. So reproductive technologies don't work without a good foundation. So one has to have good management, for example, identifying animals, good nutrition, herd health. Usually, crossbreeding should be in the equation. Nutrition's especially important, and most wrecks with reproductive technology have their roots in a nutrition problem. So if we look at more than 50 years ago, what was our situation differing from today? First, there was no frozen semen, no disposables. So I washed lots of glass syringes, glass plungers. We didn't have disposable needles. We reused them. We sharpened them. Even the sleeves for AI were rubber sleeves that we rewash, not throw away the plastic sleeves. We had no EPDs, no estrus synchronization. The first success in embryo transfer in cattle occurred in 1951. Minimal vaccination programs, primarily for brucellosis. We didn't even have ear tags. So what I want to do next is go through my top 10 reproductive tools that evolved over the last 50 years. I'm going to start with a group of routine tools. This is like a David Letterman top 10. And they're roughly in chronological order of introduction. The first is artificial insemination, and then electroejaculation, especially in the context of breeding soundness exams and so on. And then more thorough vaccination programs for the venereal diseases like vibriosis and other reproductive diseases like BVD. Frozen semen came along. Body condition scoring. Is that a reproductive technology? In my opinion, it is. To continue on the top 10, hormones for synchronization of reproductive cycles. The progesterones, the prostaglandins, GnRH. EPDs. Again, I consider them a very important routine reproductive tool. And again, I'm picking the 10 most important in my opinion. Ultrasonography came along, and then sexing sperm and fetuses. And the most recent in my top 10 is genomics. Now, I've got another top 10 list. And that's a list that's more closely associated with the kind of work I've done. And I call those niche or research tools. And they may not be as important for production purposes, but they also have their place. Again, in roughly chronological order, hormone assays, superovulation, and I'll go into some of these in a bit more detail in a little bit, non-surgical embryo recovery and transfer, cryopreservation of embryos, in vitro fertilization, and to round out that top 10 of niche research tools, splitting embryos, transvaginal oocyte aspiration, embryo biopsy, and the biopsy might be for genetic problems, cloning by nuclear transplantation, and transgenics. So as is obvious to all of us, the research niche tools progress to routine use. And some of these happen kind of slowly. So for example, using hormones for estrosynchronization took a long time to get somewhat practical. Other things move much faster. So genomics in dairy cattle, it was about 2 years from when it was understood that these techniques could work to when you cannot sell a bull for dairy breeding purposes without a genomic profile. No bull stud will buy it. And that's going to happen with beef bulls as well. So some of these things go from the research to the application quite rapidly. Now, having gone through all these tools, the most important and the ones that all of you are using already are vaccination programs, electroejaculation for breeding soundness exams, body condition scoring, EPDs for bulls. So without these foundational tools, the other more razzle-dazzle reproductive tools are not very valuable. So let's go into a little bit more detail. So artificial insemination. In my opinion, the most powerful genetic tool we have is artificial insemination with genetically superior semen. And the big combo is ovulation synchronization with hormones plus artificial insemination with a superior semen. And notice I used ovulation synchronization instead of estrosynchronization. Estrosynchronization is an obsolete term. We don't even measure it these days. We want to synchronize ovulation and breed on that basis, and that's what it's all about. And so with this combination, we combine a bunch of other tools. Artificial insemination, frozen semen, hormones for the synchronization, fringe benefit of the hormones, inducing cycling in postpartum cows and heifers around puberty. We get EPDs and genomics in the equation, and sex semen may fit in some situations. And then the benefits of this combination, and again, you all know this already, genetic superiority, getting your cows pregnant earlier, the convenience traits like calving ease and poll trait, concentrates calving. People worry about breeding all the cows in one day, as we do in my herd. Those spread out over 2 weeks. And in fact, the concentration of getting most of it over with quickly is a benefit, in my opinion. We can have sex selection in the process and then getting it all done in one day. So a little bit more about some of these niche technologies. One that I didn't mention before is induced calving. So one can give a cow that's a week or 10 days from calving dexamethasone, and she's going to have a calf in about 60 hours. There's a place for that in some situations. It's a little risky to use in others. Ultrasonography, I want to say a little bit more about that, sex, semen, and embryo transfer in the next few slides. So ultrasonography can be used for pregnancy diagnosis, and one can go down to 25, 26 days of gestation in heifers using ultrasound, a few days longer in cows, but before 30 days. Ultrasonography seems to be rather innocuous, can be used for sexing fetuses between 2 and 3 months of gestation. One can determine ovarian status, information on the stage of the cycle, diagnosis of pathology, and so on. Just a very useful new tool.